Saturday, 23rd of March, 2024. Maybe today. To this promise, our 12 tribes, earnestly serving God night and day, hope to attain. For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. Acts 26:7. In the previous verse, Paul said, "And now, upon a hope, the promise unto the fathers, a promise having been made by God, I have stood being judged." He now continues with that thought, beginning with, "To this promise, our 12 tribes." The word promise is inserted. It is the hope Paul spoke of, which is the promise made by God and to which the 12 tribes of the Jews were directed. Before going on, it is of note that Paul's words reflect one of several times in the New Testament which confirm, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that there are no lost tribes of Israel. There are those of Israel who were lost, but of the tribes there is no void. Paul, speaking many, many hundreds of years after the exile of Israel by Sennacherib, king of Assyria, notes the 12 tribes as existing and earnestly serving God. Members of almost all of the tribes are mentioned in Scripture after that exile, even in the New Testament. If there is one person left of a tribe, the tribe remains. The word Paul uses that is translated as 12 tribes is found only once in Scripture. Dodecaphulon. It comes from dodeca, 12, and phule, tribe. The other times the 12 tribes are mentioned, a variation using the word dodeca is used. Of these 12 tribes, Paul next says they were earnestly serving God night and day. It is to the promise of the previous verse that these 12 tribes spent their time in this manner. The fact that this service was even conducted throughout the night is found in several places of Scripture, but Psalm 134 gives a clear enough witness to that fact. "Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord who made heaven and earth. Bless you from Zion." Psalm 134. The word translated as earnestly is en ektenai. It is only found here in the New Testament. It indicates in intensity. This intense serving refers to the religious aspects of the Jewish nation, meaning the special worship that is derived from their scriptures. They conducted the required sacrifices, they observed the holy days, they participated in the pilgrim feasts, etc. The conduct of their lives was centered on this service, and the purpose of it was that they had a hope to attain the promise through it. The word translated as attain indicates arriving at a goal, a final end. Therefore, the promise must be more than just the resurrection, but what accompanies the resurrection. A resurrection to live forever in a white box would be an eternity of boredom. A resurrection to live forever on this earth in the state we are in would be an eternity of frustration. But a resurrection that allows man to behold the fullness of his infinite Creator as he ceaselessly reveals himself to his creatures would be a resurrection of eternal wonder. That is what the faithful of Israel look forward to with intensity, and that is the promise that the 12 tribes hoped to attain. And Paul includes himself and his trial in that hope. As he says, "For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews." Paul has inextricably tied the charges against him by the Jews to the very thing that the 12 tribes hoped for. He was avowed that Christ is risen from the dead, and therefore his hope in Christ cannot be sedition if it is true. Rather than sedition, it is submission to the fulfillment of the promise. Being accused by the Jews is then an implicit slap in the face of his accusers. They have failed to realize the very thing that the nation had hoped and striven for. Life application. When asked what their religion is, people around the world will normally respond in whatever manner they were raised in. Some will say, "I am a Muslim." Others, "I am a Buddhist." Still others, "I am a Christian." However, when asked what that means, many of them will have no idea. They were born into a culture that is directed by a particular religion, and so that is what they claim. They may know some of the basic rites of the religion, along with some of the cultural things that they do along with their religion. but they really have no idea what their claim of Islam, Buddhism, or Christianity actually teaches. But there is a simple fact to remember, which is that a person who has not received Christ is not a Christian. His claim is merely a cultural or family identification. A Christian is a follower of Christ. That comes from knowing who he is and what he has done. Accepting the premise through belief and being sealed with the Holy Spirit as a promise that God has saved him. When you go out to evangelize and you ask the question, "What do you believe about God?" if you are given the answer, "Oh, I'm a Christian," you might want to ask more questions just to be sure. Many people raised as Christians have no idea what it means to be a Christian. Don't assume. Instead, give the simple gospel and ask if they believe that. It can make an eternity of difference in that person's life. Lord God, may we never assume that just because someone claims to be a Christian, he actually is. Help us to remember to be clear and precise about what you have done. People need Jesus, not a title that was bestowed upon them at birth. Help us to remember this as we speak to others. Amen.
This is the promise that the 12 tribes of our people hope to receive. For this hope the Jews serve God day and night. My king, the Jews have accused me because I hope for this same promise.
Acts 26, verse 7.